Minnesota may have Bob Dylan and Prince, but hey, in Wisconsin, we have Bon Iver and the Bodines. And our next guest says Wisconsin artists have had a big impact on the music world.
Evan Retlesky is a music editor for the Shepherd Express. Evan, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, when coming up with a list of the most influential Wisconsin musicians, what kind of things did you weigh?
Yeah, you know, I take the word influential really seriously. You know, music critics, we love semantics. So you kind of focus on that word influential. How many people did they influence? How did they inspire future musicians? And, you know, do we still hear the sounds that they created in other people's work?
And we're going to jump around a little bit. I want to start with the number one.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your number one pick for the most influential Wisconsin musician?
It's boring, but it's kind of a no-brainer. It's Les Paul. And a lot of that doesn't have to do with the songs that he wrote or performed themselves, although, you know, in the day they sold millions of records. It's just about the innovations that he brought to rock and roll. He was one of the great pioneers of the electric guitar. He essentially invented one of the most common electric guitars, the most popular electric guitars ever. And he really also created all these techniques for guitar playing that musicians have been borrowing and building on for just decades and decades. In addition to that, he was also a pioneer in the studio. He was one of the first big artists to use multi-tracking as sort of a studio effect on his album. So he just did all sorts of things that were way ahead of his time. And I don't know how music would be different without him. I think he was really one of the building blocks of rock as we know it.
Hard to sum up in just one clip, but here is Les Paul, the Wizard of Waukesha, with Mary Ford. Get a taste of his guitar work there. I want to move on your list to another one near the top here. James Brown's longtime drummer, Madison native, recently passed away. Clyde Stubblefield, big connection, of course, to us here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And before we talk about Clyde, I want to play a couple of things. He's known as the most sampled drummer in music history. Here's a bit from Funky Drummer by James Brown. Here's Clyde's beat.
I walk the blue.
And now as we fade out, I'll set up this next one. Our producer, Carl Christensen, did a supercut with that beat in a number of different songs over the years. Here's a listen.
1989, the number, another summer. Sound of the funky drummer. Music hitting your heart because I know you got soul.
Boogie, jive, and rap is life where I'm from. Where I'm from, Ahmad play with Izzy where I'm from. Where I'm from, it be like run your coat black. Jupiter keeps a fat beat.
Yeah, yeah.
Freedom.
All right, when you've got a beat that unites Public Enemy, LL Cool J, Diggable Planets, George Michael, Ed Sheeran, and the Powerpuff Girls, that is an influential musician. Talk about Clyde Stubblefield a little bit, Evan.
Yeah, that's his legacy. He's another musician where he's influential not just for the songs themselves, although, you know, those were incredible performances on the James Brown records. It's the way that those songs sort of worked themselves into the DNA of modern music as we know it. It didn't just inspire funk, it inspired all forms of pop music, and especially rap, where sort of the backbone that he provided that gave rap producers so much to work with and so much to build on, and we still hear it. I mean, we'll be hearing his samples for decades and decades to come. He really just laid the groundwork for black music as we know it right now.
We're talking right now with Evan Retlesky, music editor of the Shepherd Express, and talking about his list of the most influential Wisconsin musicians. And Evan, we got to head to Eau Claire now because you included, justifiably, Justin Vernon from Bon Iver, who's been a breakout and has also, it seemed like, created a music hub in that part of the state.
Yeah, you know, he's got obviously some great records and some songs that'll live on for a long time. But I think his real legacy is likely to be the community he's built in Wisconsin. Before he came around and really was a cheerleader for Eau Claire, nobody really thought of Eau Claire as a big music hub. But here he is showcasing all the music that they've got there. He built a big studio there where bands from around the country travel to record now. And then, of course, he built the Eau Claire's Music Festival, which is really just an incredible, unique music festival that looks like it's going to be around for a long time. So he put the city on the map sort of the way Kurt Cobain did with Seattle back in the 90s. He just really championed his hometown. It was inspiring to see.
And here's a little bit of his song, Flume.
I am my mother on the wall with a song.
So Bon Iver there with Flume. Now, a big name there. Here's one I wasn't as familiar with on your list, and I'll admit I'm not even sure how to pronounce it. John Mueller or Muller?
Oh, yeah. He's one of the more obscure ones. I put him, you know, down a little bit lower on my list of top 10 musicians, but he has been a big figure in two music scenes. He was a big figure in a subgenre known as post-rock, which is a really complex, smart form of kind of indie rock that draws from jazz patterns and whatnot. He's played in a few big post-rock bands, but he's also really big on sort of the experimental side of things. He's run a record label, and he's put out dozens of releases for all kinds of record labels. He's really been one of these guys sort of below the radar who's connected Milwaukee's music scene and Wisconsin's experimental music scenes to sort of the rest of the world. He's really internationally known for the music that he makes, at least in small circles.
Now, we've got a Facebook comment here, Evan. Brian from Facebook votes for the Violent Femmes, and you agree.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And this is a band, you know, with a lot of the other picks, I've sort of focused on their importance for what they contributed to music and how, you know, sort of their innovations were influential. But with the Violent Femmes, it's not really about that. It's just about the songs themselves. They created really one of the great debut rock albums ever. I mean, that first album is just filled with classic songs that we all know, even if some of us don't think they're the Violent Femmes. We all know the rhythms. We hear them at baseball stadiums. And it's just a band that just sort of, I think, inspired a lot of people with their individuality. You know, they were just three guys making music that kind of captured the angst of adolescence. And there was just so much unique about it. They were sort of folky, they were sort of punky, they were sort of jazzy. The singer had one of those voices that made you feel like anybody could be a singer. I think a lot of people started a band because of them.
Let's give a listen, Violent Femmes, and Please Do Not Go.
Tell your man I'm stuck on this lovely girl. Of course to me, she mean all the world. But then she like another guy.
Violent Femmes, and they're still making music. We talked to one of them not that long ago. They recorded some stuff in Australia and dropped an album last year, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty good, too.
And Evan, tell us who else is on your list.
Yeah, I've got a couple other ones there. Number five on my list would be Garbage, and I sort of weighed where to put them because this is a band where I think the producer and one of their members is maybe more important than the band themselves. Butch Vig, who used to produce in Madison, he, of course, produced all sorts of huge bands during the 90s alternative boom, including Nirvana, most famously. But, you know, even when you take Butch Vig out of the equation, this band themselves, I think, has held up a lot better than a lot of the 90s rock bands that they came up with. They were sort of stylish at the time in the 90s, but their music hasn't dated that bad. And I think in the 90s, a lot of people heard them, and especially singer Shirley Manson. I think they were inspired. She was sort of an icon back in the day, and they've aged really gracefully.
And we heard Rob on Facebook said, Steve Miller. Can't talk about Wisconsin music without the Steve Miller Band.
Yeah, you know, Steve Miller, certainly in terms of albums sold, he's right near the top. And for me, you know, he just embodies that era of rock and roll, that sort of super studio-centric, kind of electric, proggy, bluesy, all over the place rock. It's kind of inspiring. You listen to those records, and they're really wild. They're all over the place. And the songs, of course, hold up, too.
And Evan, I want to ask you, this is a question, I think, directly from our producer, Carl, who says, this has got to be a little bit controversial. He wants to know, where is the love for Liberace? Should Liberace be on this list?
You know, the honest answer to that is I don't really know. Liberace, was he influential? I mean, there was only one Liberace, so he's this sort of larger-than-life figure. But unlike some of the other artists on this list, I don't think people heard Liberace and was like, I want to be the next Liberace. Not really possible.
You never know.
So DeKreutz and the Promise Ring and the Bodines round out your list, and you're watching, Evan, very briefly for new musicians for the future.
But yeah, there's quite a few. I'm based in Milwaukee right now, and the Milwaukee music scene is just flush with talent right now.
And we'll go out with one of those talents, Milo. This is a song, Zen Scientist Milo from Milwaukee. Evan, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.